Danny Miller was on a rescue ship that was in the waters at the time. And Danny, take us back some 50 years ago.
Stationed on a small, what's called ASR, submarine rescue vessel. And we were an auxiliary ship, but there were probably 85 members on the Skylark. And it was, by definition, our submarine was a submarine rescue vessel. We operated out of New London, Connecticut, and at the time of that we lost the Thresher, it was our job to escort different submarines, nuclear, ICBMs, diesel-powered World War II type subs. Anytime they left the yards of with repairs, we escorted them. It was our function to, if they sank or if they had an issue, to try to get everybody off the submarine or rescue the submarine itself. We didn't have the capabilities of pulling a submarine off the bottom, but we could with a, we had what was called a recovery bell that we could put 15 submariners in it. And we would send down attached to the sub and open a little hatch in the bottom. The guys would get up and we would bring them to the surface, unload, just like an elevator. But at the time, I was a deep sea diver and UD, had gone to UDT school training for scuba and explosives, et cetera. But we had gone out to escort it out of the yards out of Portsmouth, Maine. There was a naval yards. They went out, did their dives, their test dives, and a lot of their depths weren't shared with us because that was something, especially me, I didn't need to know that. But somewhere about test level two or three, they experienced a serious problem. And all of the determinations later indicated they had a water line that went through the hull of the ship burst, and it took them to the bottom. There were approximately 129, I think there were like 124 sailors and four or five civilians that worked for the yards that came out. And it actually took hours to determine that they had actually sunk. We were good to rescue them up to 12, maybe 1,500 feet. 1,200 was our safe standards. The divers would go down 150, 300 feet, maybe 450 feet. We set a record at 400 feet in the Mediterranean in Toulon, France one time. But unfortunately for the submarine, that to make their deep tests, they were off what's called the shelf off the east coast of the United States. It goes out about 200 miles and varies, but up to that point, you're working in 200, 300, 400 feet of water. When you go off the shelf, you actually are in 4,000, 8,000, 14,000 feet of water. And they went down approximately, I think, 8,000 or 9,000 feet of water. They went to the bottom. And the submarine actually imploded. It blew up. I think they found two significant pieces that even indicated it was a submarine. It was an attack submarine, submarine attack submarine. It was the best, the fastest, the deepest, and the best at the time. And but there were no survivors.
Death was probably instantaneous, Danny.
They it was explained to me at the time that it probably took less than 15 seconds from the water leak at one end to go through the boat, shove walls into walls at a real high rate of speed. Death was instantaneous. When it got to the compartment that you were in, it was instantaneous. That's what I was told.
Yeah. This was a nuclear submarine, and it caused all kinds of fears with the announcement of that sinking.
There were some safety issues on how they did things in the yards and how they did the tests. This happened on April 10th. I was discharged in August. And at the time, there were they were still trying to figure out what happened. My understanding, I was interviewed the other day by the Associated Press from Maine, a reporter, and he was telling me about some of the standards, the new test guidelines, standards of operations, how they welded, how they inspected weld, any type of repair in a submarine, all of the changes that came about because of this sinking, because this was a real disaster. It is still the largest disaster, the highest number of men dying in a nuclear submarine incident for the United States. And for those of your listeners who have ever watched Hunt for Red October, the submarine called Dallas is basically what the Thrasher was. It was a sub-attack submarine.
Mm-hmm. Danny Miller was 20 years old at the time on this ship, the Skylark. Can you remember your first thoughts 50 years ago when you heard the garbled transmission coming up from the Thrasher?
It took us 3 to 4 hours to even, I guess, realize that, in fact, we had lost the sub. And a lot of times we were sent out as a decoy for nuclear subs. They would send us, which I guess whoever was observing the Russians, Cold War, we were sent out as an escort, and we'd find out maybe a day later that when we came out of the river, New London, Connecticut, the Thames River, that we went right, they went left. We'd hook up with them later. And so we assumed that since we lost communication, it was a ploy, they weren't with us. Then all of a sudden it was determined that, no, it's not a ploy. So the international code for surface, because we've lost communications, the last resort is you drop hand grenades over the side, explosives. And when you drop 3 hand grenades over, boom, 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 that's the indication that we've lost contact for some reason. Surface and identify yourself. That had no response. It took about, if my memory is correct, 4 to 6 hours for us to even realize we'd lost it. And you don't know what to think, okay? It's just a huge emptiness. You don't know if they're alive, if they're at a level that you could recover them, and they're still alive, or if they died. It actually took weeks. They brought in, we were out for days circling, trying to pick up debris, evidence that it was a disaster. And they brought in a deep diving vehicle. It was called a bathyscaphe.
Mm-hmm.
The name of it was a Trieste. They brought it in from California. And it went down and got some of the first pictures and indications that it was in pieces on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's just devastating. Okay?
Yeah.
So, but it's you try to you had a job to do, and you did it. That's part of the service, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have been in on that.
Yeah. There's only a few of you veterans left from the old Skylark.
Well, I was 20 at the time. This is the 50th anniversary. You know, the math kind of tells you that most of my friends have either passed or in a nursing home, probably where I need to be. But when the Associated Press called, they just, same thing, they had hard trouble finding them. I gave them the names of one guy I knew. It was still alive. He's 81. He's in Houston, Texas. I'd found him by accident not long ago on the 50th reunion of Navy SEALs, Doc Rios. And he was a corpsman on our vessel, but he was also a diver. We had about 85 average crew members, and of that, approximately 25 of us were deep-sea divers. That was our biggest deal. That's what we did.
When we talk, Danny, when we talk about deep sea diving, explain that.
Oh, it's like all the old movies of John Wayne and et cetera. It's a big brass helmet on a canvas suit with air and communication cables going to the surface. It takes them about 20 minutes to dress you. You're basically compressed air. Your suit weighs anywhere from 187 pounds to 200 pounds. And they'll put you on a stage and take you over the side, or you just, I've had occasions, it's pretty rough weather, they just, you get up and you walk over to the side and you jump. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll drop a heavy anchor to the bottom with a 2-inch rope, and you get a hold of the rope and slide the rope down. But if you're on compressed air, you're good for about 150 feet, 160 feet. If they put helium mix on you, a helium pack, then you're good to 300 feet. You can go to 300 to 400 feet, but they like for you to stay in a safety margin of 300 feet. And anything above that, we would call and get what's called experimental diving unit divers out of, in our case, they come out of Norfolk. And they could go down, they'd go down to 1,200, 1,500 feet on these, on mixed gases, mm-hmm. is what they called it. But we had three kind of divers, which I was, all of our divers were qualified. Either we do a scuba, which is tanks, everybody's familiar with, mm-hmm. Jack Brown, which is a wetsuit and a mask, but the mask has hoses going to the top, and then deep sea, which is actually the safest of the group, which is the 200 pound. It's kind of bulky, and it's very slow in trying to work with it, but it was actually the safest of the group. We did that the most, that and scuba. You have an accident in deep sea, which I had one. It's just a slow recovery. If you have an accident in scuba, it can easily be fatal. If you lose air in scuba, you're hurt. We had one of those over around Malaga, Spain, and we didn't lose the diver, but we had a real problem with him when he surfaced. But it's like I said, deep sea. There were 25 of us. We had some excellent, well trained. Safety was very high. They had people that did nothing but keep track of tables to get you through without having bends or serious injury because of bends or nitrogen narcosis, that type of thing.
The Cuba Gooding and Robert De Niro movie is a good example of what you're talking about right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the only funny thing that I ever did was I was down in scuba and in a river, and I was using tanks and kept hearing this thump, 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 and it scared me. So I went to the bottom real quick. It was only about 100 feet. Got a hold of a rock and held on to it and kept watching. Some nuclear sub captain decided rather than to come surface up the Thames River and wait for them to raise the bridge so he could get up to the submarine base, he just decided to submerge and sneak up. And the sub captains were, these guys were daredevils. They did a lot of interesting things, I'll say.
Okay.
But, you're laying there on the bottom watching the sub go over, you think, okay.
Wow.
Won't do that again.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Gooding movie was, it was very accurate. I saw very little in it that indicated that we had that they were making it look like something it wasn't. This one Doc Rios that I knew in the service on my ship was actually part of that movie, and another diver I didn't know him, but Doc knew him. He was a good friend of Doc. He was actually the scuba diver in the movie about the shark and Jaws. The diver that was in the cage, that was actually a Navy scuba diver.
Oh, yeah.
That did that one. But Robert De Niro, the Doc and a couple of his buddies actually dressed him in the movie and all of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And dressed him in the helium outfit when he actually walked down to make his presentation to the board.
Yes.
But it was an accurate movie. You know, it was an honor to serve. I volunteered. It wasn't something I had to do. And I had an interesting life.